Okay, let's just jump right in. Trying to navigate modern career choices, especially as a young person, it can feel like you're standing at the intersection of a dozen highways.
It's overwhelming.
The economy is changing so fast, and figuring out where you fit in, it takes more than just good grades.
It absolutely does. The noise level is deafening, and that's why a really high-quality, structured careers guidance system is just so important.
And that's what we're looking at today.
Yeah, we're diving into the blueprint for cutting through that complexity, the dynamic and inclusive careers provision at Boston High School.
Their mission seems really sharp, supporting every student in making informed, ambitious, and confident decisions. And the key thing here for me is that this isn't just a random collection of events.
Not at all.
The whole system is anchored by industry standards, the Gatsby benchmarks, and the CDI framework.
And that structures the foundation. Their whole vision is built on four core goals. First, empower students to really explore their interests. Second, to provide meaningful, tangible encounters with employers and workplaces.
Real-world stuff.
Exactly. Third, and this is crucial, they support all pathways equally: university, apprenticeships, straight into employment, all of them.
And the fourth.
That's the long game, developing those critical transferable skills for genuine, lifelong success.
That is a huge undertaking,
Yeah.
which I suppose brings us to the human infrastructure, the team actually leading this.
Right.
It's clearly not a passive one-size-fits-all guidance counselor model. It feels much more like integrated leadership.
That integration is the strategic advantage here. The structure is it's multi-layered. You've got the careers leader, Mr. M. Smith, working directly with Mrs. J. Wise, who oversees Key Stage 5.
So the older students.
Yes, and then Mrs. A.M. Franks, the associate head teacher, who makes sure careers education is woven into the broader pastoral fabric of the school.
I think the inclusion of really specialized support is particularly smart. There's people whose whole job is to focus on these high-stakes routes.
Exactly. They've designated Mrs. Farley to focus specifically on Oxbridge applications, medic support, and other early entry pathways.
That must make a huge difference.
It does. That specialized attention prevents those incredibly complex applications from just getting lost in the system.
But, I mean, is there a risk that by focusing so intensely on those, the high-stakes routes, they might accidentally signal that other pathways, maybe more vocational ones, are less valued?
That's a great question, and that's precisely why the role of external independent advice is so critical here. They rely on Miss Lily Mitchell of Careers First. Her job is to provide the completely impartial guidance. She makes sure there's no institutional bias towards one route over another.
So she's the objective voice in the room. Who actually gets to see Miss Mitchell?
Students in the key transition year, so year 9 and year 11 plus all of year 12, they automatically get dedicated time slots.
That's proactive.
It has to be. It ensures they get that guidance right before critical choices are made about GCSEs, post-16 pathways, and what comes next.
And what's fascinating here is just the sheer breadth of what those meetings cover. The sources call it a timeout to explore options and look at yourself objectively. It's not just filling out forms.
Oh, not at all. It's a deep dive into self-analysis. Students analyze the skills they've already developed, not just what they've learned in a classroom.
Right.
They explore career areas, they access labor market information, LMI. And accessing LMI is vital because it stops you from choosing a job that won't exist in 5 years.
And maybe the most revealing part, helping students figure out their personal job priorities. We're talking about those big questions. What do you really value? Is it money, power,
Yeah.
or is it work-life balance?
Precisely. Understanding those deep personal drivers and then linking them to setting realistic goals and understanding how recruitment actually works, that's what turns a vague interest into a concrete plan.
So the team is set, the guidance is rigorous,
Yeah.
but that structure is nothing without implementation. How does the curriculum actually deliver this knowledge year after year? I know it follows a spiral model.
The spiral curriculum is the answer. It ensures age-appropriate progression all the way from year 7 to year 13. The learning gets more complex as they get older.
So you're not overloading a 12-year-old.
Exactly. You're not hitting them with information meant for an 18-year-old. It's delivered by both teachers and external experts.
And we look at the specific activities plan for 2025-2026, you can really see that focus on practical skills.
Yes. You've got structured UniFrog modules for each year group, mock interviews, workshops on CVs and personal statements.
And a big emphasis on those meaningful encounters.
Huge. Employer talks, alumni panels, workplace visits, and crucially, work experiences planned for year 10, starting the following year. And it's already running for all of year 12.
Now, to really get the depth of this, we have to look at the CDI framework. This is sort of the brains of the operation, right?
Mm.
It breaks career learning into six distinct areas.
It is. And these six areas go so far beyond just, what job do I want? They are grow throughout life, explore possibilities, manage career, create opportunities, balance life and work, and see the big picture.
And here's where that spiral element is so clever. They aren't just throwing all six of those at a year seven student, are they?
Absolutely not. In year seven, students focus only on the first two. Grow throughout life, which is about confidence and self-development, and explore possibilities. It's a gentle introduction.
But the complexity really scales up.
It scales rapidly. By the time they hit year 11 in Key Stage 5, so years 12 and 13 students are actively engaged in modules covering all six areas.
So they're learning how to manage their career, create their own opportunities.
How to analyze societal influences and how to maintain that work-life balance. That exposure is what gives them the confidence to make those final decisions that actually stick.
That progression is a huge takeaway for anyone designing a program like this. It shows a real trust in the student to build knowledge gradually. Speaking of systems, let's talk about the digital tools. Unifrog is the central hub here, isn't it?
It is. It's the single source of truth. Every student has access, and importantly, parents and carers are also encouraged to use it. It centralizes everything.
So LMI, courses, tracking skills.
Everything. All those skills they develop feed right back into those guidance meetings we talked about.
But there's one specific tool listed that I think provides an immediate reality check for students. The Careerometer.
The Careerometer is fantastic. It allows a student to settle that eternal argument with solid data.
Right. Does a plumber really earn more than a teacher?
You can find out. You can instantly input up to three jobs or compare one against the UK average and see the headline data. Pay, weekly hours, and future employment prospects.
That just grounds big dreams in reality, which is invaluable. So, to put this on a real-world timeline, what are some of the key events for the 2025-2026 academic year that show the pacing?
The schedule is really rigorous. You've got National Careers Week in March 2026, which is crucial for maximizing exposure. Then in April, Year 10 has a key university visit.
And for Year 12, it seems to ramp up towards the end of the year.
It does. Those defining events happen right before the summer. The UCAS Fair on June 19th, and then their Work Experience Week runs immediately after, from June 22nd to the 26th.
Which is smart timing. They get that critical input before the stress of final exams really kicks in.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered the people, the structure, the tools. Our final section is about evaluation. How do they know if this whole complex system is actually working?
The evaluation loop is continuous and evidence-based. First, they survey the students in Term 6 about the careers education they received, and those results directly inform the planning for the next year.
So, a direct feedback loop.
A direct feedback loop. And second, the quality of that impartial guidance from the external advisor is evaluated by the students who actually use the service. That feedback goes right back to the provider.
So, they're constantly course correcting. And I assume the ultimate measure is the destination data. What do students actually go on to do?
That's the bottom line. Destination data is logged annually for the county council, but crucially, they then analyze that data against national averages.
Ah, so they can see how they're performing against the baseline.
Precisely. That comparison is how they truly measure the impact of the entire program.
So let's look at a snapshot of those outcomes from 2023-24. What did that data actually show? Where were students headed?
The data paints a picture of successful progression into a diverse mix of institutions. The top five universities included the University of Lincoln, Nottingham Trent, and Manchester Metropolitan.
So a good mix of prestigious and practical regional universities.
A very strong mix. And the most popular courses also show a great breadth of interest.
I'm curious, what were they?
The leading courses were psychology, law, English, education, and sport.
That diversity really does confirm that the program isn't just pushing everyone down one narrow path. It's supporting a wide range of interests.
It really is.
Finally, let's touch on the resource library they have. It's not just for students, but for parents and employers too. It looks enormous.
It's all about centralization and reliability. Instead of sending a student out into the, you know, the wild west of the internet,
Right.
They provide categorized, vetted information. You find great options for careers information, like I could. For higher education, they have UCAS and specific grants listed. And importantly, for those non-university pathways, there are huge sections on apprenticeships and employment.
Listing things like Lynx Talent Academy and not going to uni.
Exactly. It's a comprehensive ecosystem designed to make sure that whichever path you choose, the resources you need are right there, vetted and accessible. It just saves time and reduces stress.
That seems to be the key takeaway. This is an incredibly integrated approach. You have the human team with specialists and external experts. You have the structured spiral curriculum.
All based on that CDI framework.
Yeah, and it's all leveraged through powerful digital tools like Unifrog and that Curometer.
The ultimate success really lies in that focus on the future, preparing them not just for a qualification, but for life. That focus on the CDI areas, see the big picture and balance life and work, ensures they understand their career isn't separate from their overall well-being.
Lifelong career management really does require more than just academic skills.
It requires self-awareness, absolutely.
For sure. So the impartial guidance meetings in this program are designed to help students identify and analyze the skills already developed. So if you were preparing for one of those meetings today, what surprising non-academic skill, maybe something you learned through a hobby or volunteering, would you identify as a marketable asset for your future career journey? Think about that self-analysis as you plan your next steps.